Good evening, everyone. It is Sunday night, November 24th, 2019. For those who will celebrate it later this week, happy Thanksgiving. This is your WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view recap. And thanks to AEW, you got some of the finishes you got tonight. I am Don Tony, and he is...
Kev Castle. What's up,
TT? No, not much, not much. Pay-per-view literally went off the air not even 30 seconds ago. We are right on here, just giving everybody the recap. I guess before we get into the pre-show and the match-by-match results, what's your immediate thinking, your immediate reaction to what you saw tonight?
I enjoyed the Keith Lee match.
Yeah, right. You know what? I've been saying for a while on Wednesday Night Dynamite, because someone had asked me about a month or so ago, like, who's my favorite NXT guy? And I said, Keith Lee. And slowly, you know, I'm starting to really enjoy Ortiz as my favorite AEW guy. He's just so animated, so talented. But Keith Lee tonight showed why not only will he be a major player on the main roster sooner than later, but this guy needs to be in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then we'll get into everything, but it was the right outcome. I like the way it went down. I like the way, getting pinned on Rollins is a big deal. Getting a pin on Reigns and Rollins at his stage in NXT, a little too much. They did the right thing tonight. It went the right way.
I don't like the match placement to try to make the female statement once again.
Oh, I agree with you.
To have, Shayna Baszler, I have no problem with her going over. In fact, if anybody listens to the pay-per-view predictions from Monday, I actually said Shayna Baszler for the win. I changed it to Bayley because I just felt like there's no way they can really have NXT have that much dominance tonight. You will have your moments here and there, but to have Roderick Strong go over was very surprising to me. Then to see, to see the way that some of these matches, and look, we talked about it on Monday. You know, you always have very quick pins, very quick disqualifications, very quick, turnaround when you have a Survivor Series match because there are so many people in it. Now you add the fact that there are five more people in these five-on-fives. You know, to see Walter get eliminated immediately and to see Riddle get eliminated so quickly and to see Orton get eliminated so quickly and the worst elimination of them all. I mean, suspension of disbelief. Play the idea through the match that Kevin Owens could turn at any time and join NXT and to have him eliminated just quietly. I don't know, man. I enjoyed the pay-per-view overall. And as people will hear match by match, I'll emphasize what I liked more than others. But, man, some of the decision-making tonight was just very, sloppy would be the right way to put it.
I agree with you. And closing out, and as I'm sitting here waiting to go on the air in a couple of minutes looking at the clock, I'm watching Shayna Baszler close out a pay-per-view on top of the desk where, DT, me and you have said this, and the ratings prove it. A lot of people don't know who she is. There's a lot of kids and parents in that audience like, I don't really know this woman that much. Should I be on my feet for her? I don't know her. So you can't close out a pay-per-view. Now, listen, Becky got the one-upance on her to end it off, and the man was holding the belt high at the end of the pay-per-view. Fine, but still to end like that, the placement of that, and to have her be the victor to close out the night, a woman who's known to the most of the population, but to the general population of WWE fans, no. I thought it was a bad move, and the crowd was dead. The crowd wasn't on their feet when she was on that desk.
I think because of Ronda Rousey, I think a lot more people know Shayna Baszler than we think, but
Not enough, though, DT, close a paper.
Yeah, my thinking is if you could have Shayna Baszler go out on top for that match, then you have Brock and Rey Mysterio close it out. I mean, Brock Lesnar has had very short matches and pay-per-views in the past. The thinking of having, these three women close it out, I know you want to make statements about, women have an equal opportunity. But sorry, man, there's some forms of sport and entertainment where, you know, women may not have the same footprint as men. And I'm not saying it about wrestling overall, but the placement tonight, whoever thought, and again, this goes back to what I said at the beginning of this recap. I truthfully believe that match placement of having the women end the pay-per-view and Shayna Baszler being on top is heavily influenced because AEW is on Wednesday night.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. But the placement, like you said, I think I was thinking before it came to fruition that Brock Ray was closing out the night at one moment.
Yeah.
I thought that that was the case. I was surprised. And I saw him coming out. I'm like, really? They're going to close out with Bayley and Becky? And again, Becky got a tepid reaction. I still smoke and mirrors with her being the top face of this company. I don't see it. They could hand out signs.
She's the top female of the company.
She's the top female. But DT, the match was mostly dead. There was no crowd into it at all. Barely at all. No one was into it. And Bayley is draining. I don't know. This heel turn with Bayley and her haircut. I don't know. People are just not feeling it.
You know what I loved about Bayley tonight? You know, I love most of all, besides her ass. I was having a conversation with Cleric of Chaos online. You know, I like to tweet my feelings about certain things. And unfortunately, sometimes when I write stuff, it's very one-sided because I choose not to bring further some bullshit that goes on behind the scenes. But I also love really picking at the wounds of all these garbage websites out there. And we never talked about it, you know, and this is a perfect time for us to bring it up. I mean, there are tons and tons of news reports that never make our show because it's just garbage. And the one last week that I fucking loved the most, and I purposely never brought it up, figuring, okay, let's wait for the pay-per-view so this way we could have some bullets and some ammunition. What was the article? And podcast. Podcast too, and I don't want to name any individual podcasters because right. Some of them are very well liked by mm-hmm. people that are listening, but podcasters too were talking last week on how the reason why Bayley has not worn the WWE title is because if you look at her outfit, the middle of it spells AEW. I saw that and I'm like, ugh. Whatever jerk off came up with that because, yeah, and you could see what happened. Some goof out there saw her going down to the ring wearing the belt and saw her named. It's almost like Kaz. Remember when Big Kaz used to come out for his entrance? And yeah. If he stood the right way, it looked like big ass because the yeah, C would yeah. be blocked. And you had these goofs looking at it like, like a Beavis and Butthead. ass. So what does Bayley do? She comes out. She's wearing the women's title proud. And some goof on a website or a podcast, look, it spells AEW. And then they think that's a news story. It was just, it's nonsense. It's garbage. And when she came out wearing the title today, I was like, thank you. Thank you once again, these whack jobs online that just every week prove they have nothing. Nothing.
Oh, I agree with you. I thought that was a stupid narrative, and I was surprised. Like I said, not trying to name names, and we're friends with some of these guys. But I'm surprised that narrative was pushed by some of the more intelligent podcasts that I give credit to, that they are good. But to go with that story or even repeat that. It's just head shaking to me. It's so stupid.
I know there's a lot of people that I rubbed the wrong way because of the cockiness, and hell, I was going to take off tomorrow so that I could really prepare and just emotionally clear my head this week, but I can't pass up the opportunity of playing the clip of my AEW NXT ratings predictions this week.
Yeah, so you'll be on tomorrow.
Right? Yeah, I'll be on tomorrow. Okay. I have, and we'll probably even share a little clip from our discussion on Friday talking about Cornette. And yes. Yeah, because you know these people are going to ask us tomorrow about it. And also we could talk about, you know, our portrayal of Shayna Baszler, which she looks like.
that was good. If you missed it on Friday, that was a lot of fun. And that just came off the cuff yeah. for both of us. Like I said, we just went with it, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, it just bothers me sometimes online that, you know, I take pride in the fact that it's so hard to sift out so much bullshit going around. Yes. But again, if you listen to these shows on a regular basis, you can just think of it like this. Think of it the opposite. If we actually reported this garbage that goes around on a weekly basis, you would have haters throwing it in my face, you know, immediately. Oh, DT, you remember when you said this? DT, you said this, and DT. So it's just, it's so fucking hard. But I take pride on really giving everybody the most accurate, you know, discussions and news and, you know, just sifting out all the crap out there. But Survivor Series, you know, you could see. And it's funny because when I did my ratings prediction last week on Breakfast Soup, you know, I also said that I expect AEW to regain the ratings when this coming week. Now I'm not so sure because WWE really went out of their way the last 24 hours to give Raw and SmackDown fans a reason to tune into Wednesdays. I mean, if Absolutely. You can't get into Adam Cole, I don't know where he, if anybody listening live by any chance could pull it up, I would really love to know what Adam Cole's ranking was for Pro Wrestling Illustrated this year as far as the top men. If Adam Cole is not ranked in the top three next year, if he stays on this pace, something is wrong. Because that guy, the amount of work that he has done in the last 10 days, he is without question the MVP of NXT.
Oh yeah, he's like Ryan Sandberg. He's really good. And if you don't know it, you know, take a better look at what a good player he is, so to speak. He's like one of those guys who's clearly a Hall of Famer, but he's not really in the discussion right away. And then you say, oh yeah, Adam Cole he's just as much of a workhorse as an AJ Styles or anybody else like that. And Adam Cole is in the now. AJ Styles' career is winding down. Adam Cole is the future. He's about 15 years younger than AJ Styles. But you got to recognize that. And I agree with you, DT. There's some subliminal message, or if not obvious message, that the WWE is sending out to the wrestling folks around the world that NXT watched this show. Here's reasons to watch it. Tune in this Wednesday. If you tuned in last week, watch what we're going to do this week. And all these people, Keith Lee, but you're going to see them all on Wednesday. So you're right, DT. I'm thinking there could be another win for NXT this week in the ratings.
Yeah, thank you, Tommy and White Sox. Adam Cole was ranked 18th this year, which is not bad. That's about fair. But he's got to be top five next year. The way that he has performed this year, and especially the last 10 days, I mean, this guy. And you know what? I'm going to say it too. Putting Britt Baker on the screen is obviously a shot at AEW for the simple reason that there are a lot of wrestlers with significant others in the crowd that are wrestling very, very violently on War Games, and we didn't see them being shown. So this was done to be a little bit, you know, it's sarcastic, but you also got to look at it like this. It's Adam Cole, all right? This guy is the MVP of NXT right now. They did not pull a Rory Highlander, Rory McAllister, Robbie McAllister by showing Britt Baker.
It was a brief appearance.
Yeah, she is Adam Cole's girlfriend. They wanted to focus on him. They're not going to do anything to spite him or by possibly getting his girlfriend in trouble with AEW because she sat live at an NXT event. So everybody out there that's trying to throw this Highlander crap out there, please get your own girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, or plastic, you know, significant other. And then, come on. See, I understand why on the surface it's like, wow, out of everybody, that's the person they show, but look at who is on the opposite side of it. They're not going to do anything to hurt Adam Cole's girlfriend.
Of course not. And plus, they wanted the reaction after something like that of his girlfriend in the crowd. It's a good face shot. And listen, they can play off that the cameraman didn't know who she was or whatever. I don't think it's a big, anything big to do, and she's entitled to be there on her off nights. And my God, AEW people work in other territories. So why can't she be in a match on her off night with her boyfriend that everybody knows that they're a couple for years now?
And after taking that bump in the main event yesterday, I mean, I would be very concerned also. So, you know, it's I didn't think nothing of it. I just, I think it's just people just trying to be involved in a conversation that really, you know, was not needed. You know, you want to mention it, fine, but to try to make it into this, you know, Robbie McAllister showing up at Impact deal, it's just wrong, in my opinion. So anyway, we had Survivor Series tonight. We had three kickoff matches, and by the end of the kickoff show, you started to get the feeling that they were going to focus on, you know, the scorecard of who was winning what throughout the night. And they've done that in the past with Raw and SmackDown. But at the end of the pre-show, every brand had one win out of three. The first match on the pre-show was a branded battle royal, which was won by Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, or Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. The participants were Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, the OC, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, Street Profits. I always bitch at people.
Similar team, similar gimmick.
Well, they were both wearing red last week. That kind of made it a little bit, you see the similarities, but Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, Otis and Tucker, Ziggler and Roode, Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel with Walter in their corner. I got to tell you, man, almost everybody that was in that match wasn't really involved with NXT War Games yesterday. And I swear on my mother, I swear on Jesus Christ, I originally wrote this and I was like, I'm not going to tweet all that much, but I watched War Games today. And I watched it and I purposely put it on so it would end about 15 minutes before the kickoff show would start. And I literally watched the main event from last night with the men and that match I saw it 15 minutes before this branded battle royal. And if you watch them side by side, and I don't even know how to, like, you know, compare this, but is anybody, I don't know if you've ever seen this yourself, but anybody watch Family Guy and that perverted old man?
Of course. I watch it all the time.
You know, that's always trying to hit on the kids. You see his dog, he can't, like, even walk to the.
Pervert.
Yeah. What this looked like is. Last night, it looked like two dogs in their prime banging in an alleyway, fucking just totally making their mark on some bitch in the alleyway, and then watching this battle royal is like fucking watching that Family Guy dog, that old man's dog, trying to like walk over to some dog pussy. Like, I'm serious, it was slow motion. It was bland. It was boring. It had its little moments here and there. But I invite anybody, watch the last 5 minutes of War Games and then watch this battle royal right after it. And it's like, my God, it's like you have two live people and then you decide to drug them with a date rape drug. And they're just like, I could not get into this fucking match. I'm like, this is how you carry over from NXT War Games yesterday? That is the incentive for these people?
I got news for you. I was like making sandwich. I was not even watching. I mean, I had it on and it's on the screen, but I'm cooking while it was going on. I knew that was to get the food preparations for, that this was the one to do it for.
I'm telling you, it was like last night, it was like two dogs humping, and tonight it's Herbert. You know, trying to I didn't like it at all. But next match, you had Lio Rush retaining the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, defeating Kalisto and Tozawa. Decent match. I liked it. I don't think there was any doubt of Lio Rush retaining. I'm liking Tozawa, but I think Tozawa is still majorly lost in the shuffle. I mean, what momentum is he really going to get on Raw? Is he going to get a fucking U.S. title opportunity? No. Is he going to get a heavyweight title opportunity? No. I mean, he's leave him on NXT. I don't like that this guy is on Raw.
He needs a gimmick, and not to be, you know, obviously racial in a way, but they probably should have gave the Mist gimmick to Tozawa and not to Asuka, because he reminds me a lot of, what's his name from ECW?
Tajiri?
Tajiri, yeah, a little bit of Tajiri. Not just because they're Asian, they look similar, and the similar body type as well. And I think a gimmick or some sort of, you know, heelish thing, or if he's going to be a babyface, would serve him well. Otherwise, you're right, TT. He's just lost in the shuffle.
I said it when he first debuted on the main roster years ago. I'll say it. I still see it now. I'm sorry for people that will get annoyed by what I say, but Tozawa looks like the child of when New Jack City Wesley Snipes fucks a Jap. I mean, Tozawa looks like a Japanese, like, Wesley Snipes. I just look, if you look at his face and you look at Wesley Snipes, it looks like Wesley Snipes like went to Japan 20 years, 25 years ago, banged some fucking Japanese chick, and Tozawa was born. I'm telling you. You look at them side, but you got to go back and look at, you know, square buzz cut, New Jack City, Wesley Snipes, not, you know, later on fucking Blade or whatever that shit was, but Lea Rush retains. Not a bad match. I liked it. Next we had, which ended up being on the pre-show, Big E and Kofi versus the Viking Raiders versus the NXT tag champs Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Very surprised Viking Raiders get the win. You know, very entertaining match. I don't think, you know, New Day doesn't lose anything by losing, and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, you know, in my opinion, are probably the two. If you had to rank the Undisputed Era from 1 to 4, I would put Fish and O'Reilly 3 and 4 on that list. Mm-hmm. But it was not a bad match. It went almost 15 minutes. I mean, you know, I don't think people realized how long that match went.
Oh, no, I realized the same thing, too. Like I said, I was in the midst of having dinner and taking a phone call, and I'm like, wow, this match is still going on. And I was kind of surprised that the Viking Raiders went over, but it seems like they're putting them on some sort of momentum where the Viking Raiders are finding their footing now. Hmm. Even with the fans weren't, and we could talk about it, the Chicago crowd wasn't really amped up for this pay-per-view. I didn't tell you the truth. If you didn't tell me they were in Chicago, I wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, well, even more of a reason why the women shouldn't have closed it out tonight. You got a Chicago crowd, very rabid. Yeah. And especially if you do not deliver, they will eat you up, spit you out. They will eat you again. You know, like when a dog throws up and then they eat their puke and then they throw it up again. That's what the crowd would do to a bad match. And, you know, I think there was too much confidence in having the women close this out. This isn't WrestleMania. You know, Becky doesn't have the same momentum. You know, Shayna Baszler winning, you know, really, you know, sets the tone for women in NXT. And I'm telling you, I don't work for WWE. I don't work for AEW. But, you know, the one thing that you felt that AEW might be pretty different with, other than, you know, like the tag team wrestling part, maybe emphasize on that a little bit better. But you thought that, you know, the women might be less gimmicky and more about, you know, the wrestling, having the Mercedes Martinez. Maybe they would have brought in, you know, Tennille Dashwood. You have the Japanese influence. You bring in some names that we're not, you know, accustomed to, and really make that division almost like what the X division was to TNA early on. You have the women for AEW, because Jericho, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, John Moxley, and you could go down the list. They're already pretty much household names, just about all of them. So you want to have something unique. And, you know, you look at now NXT, and they're basically saying, like, we're just throwing it in your face. The one thing, and this leads into the opening match tonight, We had Team SmackDown, which was Sasha, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, Nikki Cross, versus Team Raw, which was Charlotte, Natty, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Sarah Logan, versus Team NXT, which is Toni Storm, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, Candice LeRae, and Rhea Ripley. Right. And for anybody out there that may have only started watching NXT since AEW debuted on Wednesday, this is, and anybody listens to my Wednesday show knows I am extremely balanced with praising both shows and criticizing both shows. The one thing you cannot deny, not even close, you look at just Team NXT tonight of Ripley, LeRae, Belair, Io Shirai, and Toni Storm. You look at the women's War Games match yesterday. WWE in 2 months has really developed the characters of every female that was involved. Every female. Yeah. What has developed in AEW about Nyla Rose? We know that she was a man. What do we know about, Riho? I fucking love the inspirational story.
That she dated Kenny Omega.
They have done nothing to develop. The only person that they have really developed, and lately, you know, now they're doing Brandi Rhodes with Awesome Kong, which is fine. But other than that, what? We got a dentist. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at the character development, and that's one problem that AEW has done from the get-go, and I've said this several times already. AEW is treating too many people on their roster like they've been around for 5 years. And you can't do that. And look at all the women in NXT right now that WWE has now brought their characters, because every single person that I just mentioned from last night and tonight, even if you don't watch NXT on a weekly basis, you know, you already know what these characters are, with Ripley and Belair and Shirai and Toni Storm and Bianca Belair and, you know, Shayna Baszler and
Dakota Kai.
You go Mia Yim, you go down the list. That group from last night and tonight, it's triple the AEW women's roster.
Oh, yeah. It's not even close. It's like again, as I used to say, it's the Yankees and Long Island Ducks.
And at the same time, if you take away the Kabuki Warriors, Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and maybe Natty to an extent, and yes, Lacey Evans too, and I'm leaving a couple of names out. Still, if you add up all the women on the main roster that you feel is, you know, a decent wrestler and also has a decent character development with him, NXT still blows them out of the water.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, NXT's done a great job. I mean, Rhea Ripley, I think, is going to be a huge star. Give my brother a little credit, and he said this the other day. Rhea Ripley, I think, is becoming what they want Becky Lynch to be.
Believable. I said a couple of weeks ago, Rhea Ripley is my favorite female NXT star.
She's great.
I think Mia Yim had the Becky Lynch moment when, you know, she got her nose fucking, you know, busted up and then went through the fucking ladder. But even though Rhea Ripley is my favorite NXT woman right now, I think they got to be careful. They need to be careful because they had her beat the odds yesterday. Right. They had her beat the odds today.
You
understand what I'm saying? You know, it's a little bit too much too soon. And I think they have to tread water very carefully with Rhea Ripley because, you know, she's my favorite on NXT, but they gotta be they gotta just really pace this a little bit better, in my opinion.
And she's 23 years old, legit. 23. She's young. You know what I mean? Young in the business 5 years. So they got to do it the right way. She's got the size. She's got the look. She's got the appeal, guys and girls. She's got that cross-section appeal. She kind of looks like a superhero in a lot of ways. So I think kids will like her. I don't think the accent or the fact that she's not from America will hurt her at all. Because obviously it didn't hurt Becky, but she's more believable. She's about twice the size of Becky. Mm-hmm. So again, they got another Becky in the side pocket right there with Rhea Ripley. If Becky goes down, they have a replacement. They really do, DT. They really do.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I got to say this, too. I mean, we're not talking about War Games today. This is Survivor Series. But I got to say this because she did do some announcing today also. I have become a giant fan of Alicia Taylor. Alicia Taylor is just awesome. I mean, she just has it. You know, it's just, she will be doing all the main roster stuff very, very soon. Yeah, she's great. I think she's great. Really, like, puts that, you know, emphasis in the right areas. I really enjoy her work. And speaking of superheroes, yeah, you know, I asked a few people tonight. I think Ricochet was dressed as Batman Beyond. There was a couple of names being thrown out there tonight, but the overall consensus seems to be Batman Beyond. So I just figured I'd throw that out there. But
you know, Rey Mysterio was Doink.
Yeah, well, he was trying to be, you know, the Joker because of the movie that came out, but you know, unfortunately, I think he missed it a little bit. I mean, you know, I was like, wow, you got to walk out with a lead pipe and intimidating, and you look like a Spanish clown. You look like you're ready for a bull to fuck it. Ole! I mean, they were trying to do the Joker thing, and Rey Mysterio was great, don't get me wrong. But yes, when I saw it, it felt more of like he looks more like a clown than the Joker.
I thought Doink, and actually it was trending at one point, Doink. Just to me, it just looked a lot like that. And clearly it wasn't a tribute to Doink.
Yeah, Ben, he wasn't made up as a clown. He was made up as the Joker. That's what they were going for. But unfortunately, I think especially the nose, you know, it just looked more like he looked like a fucking clown.
It didn't work.
I mean, when I expected when he kicked Brock Lesnar that he would have like those horns on his feet where it would like, you know, the blast the horn as he's like walking around and stuff. Oh. It just, I couldn't get into it. But the women's match opening up, you know, look, we say it every year. We emphasized it Monday. You were going to have bullshit eliminations. You were going to have people turning on their own fucking team. And, you know, you look at on paper, Charlotte, Asuka, Kairi Sane, that in itself, you know, should win, you know, the Survivor Series. But, we have Asuka spitting mist in Charlotte and walking off. And it's just, I could not get into this match. It was decent, but I the only thing I liked about the match was the closing moments with Rhea Ripley and Sasha Banks.
Like that too, and when I saw Natty was one of the last three, then Sasha quickly turned on. I'm like, okay, get her out of there, you know. And God bless her best friend, Beth Phoenix, Natty, the workhorse of the women's division. Oh, stop it! Natty's never going to get over. It's just a fruitless effort. But yeah, the Rhea Ripley Sasha Banks thing was really good. I like that Lacey got to give the women's right to Charlotte and knock her out. Now, granted, she was blinded by the mist from Asuka. But she got the pin on her. You're right, Aditi. It was a lot of like mindless pins. I was looking for Bianca Belair to turn on Rhea Ripley at one point, but that didn't happen. Bianca Belair stayed pretty, you know, true to team. She didn't turn on either her partners there. And then, of course, the girls coming back was a little confusing. You know, they were injured supposedly.
Yeah, Io Shirai. It's
a little weird that I don't know
Candice
why
LeRae,
they did that.
They're being brought to the back, and then we see them running to the ring. I'm like, okay, this is pretty stupid.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense, and it's not like Rhea Ripley needs help to go after Sasha Banks. She's twice her size. It was an okay match. I thought, again, Rhea Ripley, you're right, DT, they should proceed a little bit. You know, cautiously with her on Wednesday. I'm sure she'll be a big feature on this coming Wednesday's NXT.
Well,
and if people like what they saw tonight, they'll tune in on Wednesday to look for her.
That's what they'll use on Wednesday. They'll say, unlike Raw and SmackDown, we put our differences aside and we're a cohesive team, and that's why we won. I mean, that has to be, you know, the focal point of what they say. But now, since Survivor Series is over, now it's back to, you know, the feuds that we're anticipating.
Yeah, especially with Io Shirai, you know, she was having a vicious feud there with Gargano's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for them to be buddies now, it didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But you're right. Now they can go back on Wednesday to what they do best. But yeah, I think that match overall wasn't one of my favorites. It was okay. I would give it like a six.
Yeah. Next we had Roderick Strong winning the match between him, AJ Styles, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Decent match. It went almost 17 minutes long, which, you know, when you look at Wednesday, you know, shows, you know, you feel 12, 13 minutes is a very long match. And this went 17, which really surprised me when I looked back at it. But Roderick Strong, you know, stealing a victory and, you know, again, you know, just really making NXT looking strong, because this is only technically the second match on Survivor Series because we had the pre-show. Right. And NXT is already winning the first two matches on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got over on two guys who are couldn't be more established, you know, not only here but worldwide, with Nakamura and AJ Styles, and Roddy getting the victory is a big endorsement of him. Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised they're really putting the gas behind him. He was never that big a star in Ring of Honor, Roderick Strong. Even on the Independents, he was a moderate star. But even, you know, Cornette had talked about it one time. Roddy was never going to be the top guy, and not even an IC-level guy in the Continental. It's interesting now he's found himself as a heel. He's mostly a babyface his career.
Yeah.
But they're clearly Triple H and Shawn Michaels and whoever has the power to give him the push believes in this guy. I think he maybe needs a stronger interview, but he's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah. At this point now, there's a little controversy online. You know, we're really not going to go there. You could go there if you want. I'm going to wait to get more information. But they announced that Mauro Ranallo lost his voice commentating yesterday. And a lot of people are questioning that because, for those that don't know, and you got to look at the timestamp to really put this in perspective. Last night, as War Games was on the air, early on, Mauro Ranallo was doing most of the commentating. You did not have Nigel and Beth Phoenix, you know, inputting that much commentary. Corey Graves went on social media, went on Twitter and said, and I quote, "Just for the record, guys, I know you wouldn't know it, but there's actually a WWE Hall of Famer and a former Ring of Honor champion on commentary. I'd imagine they'd have a lot to offer." You know, so that's taking a shot at Mauro Ranallo for talking too much.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, today, and, you know, obviously people out there, there, you know, here's a message to these fucking goofs. You know, even Goofy Powell. I mean, he's the godfather of the goops. There's a big difference between deleting your
godfather.
Yeah, there's a big difference between deleting your Twitter account and taking it offline. All right. Mm-hmm. You do not know if it, what do you think? If he fucking all of a sudden is back online and has 2.3 million followers, you think they all fucking started following him again in 5 minutes? It is a big difference between deleting a Twitter account and taking it offline. Either way,
well, deactivation is what they call it, right?
No, deactivation, you can reactivate it, but there's a difference. You can take your profile offline.
And then just put it back up as is, you retain everything?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I've never done it, so I don't even want a chance.
Yeah, you could do that, but the thing is that Mauro Ranallo's Twitter is not active right now. And he took it offline. We don't know if he deleted it or not, but a lot of people are thinking that, you know, this is too coincidental that Corey makes that really, you know, nasty tweet. Mauro, you know, takes his Twitter account down, and then he's not at Survivor Series tonight. So they're saying he's going to be back on Wednesday. That should be, and this is something I will say, you know, a lot of people are wondering right now. A lot of people are jumping the gun, but I will say this. If someone loses their voice, and this is where Michael Cole fucked up tonight, in my honest opinion, to turn around and say that he lost his voice from commentating, but he'll be back Wednesday. Since when is Michael Cole a fucking, you know, throat, ear, nose, and throat doctor that all of a sudden Mauro Ranallo's voice is definitely going to be back by Wednesday? You know what I mean? Like, if he lost his voice, Dr. Cole don't know if his voice is going to be fucking healed enough that he could do commentating in 72 hours. So, you know, something is going on, but, you know, we don't know the full story yet. And contrary to a lot of websites out there, they're not good friends with Mauro Ranallo, that they're texting him and getting all the information. They're just guessing right now.
I had heard there is some little bit of a rivalry. Listen, not everybody has to get along. I'm not surprising. We certain podcasts, we have taken shots at us that we never met a day in our lives. So there's people who maybe work together who don't get along. Corey Graves has some sort of issue with Marlon now for some reason. Don't know what it is. Mm. It might stem from when he was in NXT or knowing him from something else. But again, some other people were saying he was just overly taking up for his buddy McGinnis and for Beth. It wasn't really going after Marl, but emphasizing that those two have a lot to say, that people took it the wrong way. I'm not sure, but I do. It appears to me that Marl Ronaldo is so hypersensitive with a lot of things and tends to do these disappearing acts when things get weird. So I don't know what the true story is. I'll wait to comment tomorrow, I'm sure. Well, and that, even as you said, DT, even when more news is broke about it, you're not even sure what is legit. Well, so you got to kind of decipher through it.
Marl Ronaldo's had some serious emotional issues in the past, so I can't, you know, feel that, so I can't relate to it, and I'm not going to try to relate to it, and I'm not going to emphasize it, belittle it, praise it, knock it. You know, I just, in my opinion, and I have defended Corey Graves to the moon on a lot of topics, you know, if Marl Ronaldo was hogging some of the commentary, you know, let the fans on social media be the ones to throw the darts. To have a blue check mark do it, especially one of your fellow colleagues that work for the same employer, I just thought that it was not necessary. I don't think Corey Graves' tweet was necessary because, you know, Corey Graves has got tons of followers and so does Marl Ronaldo. And all that's doing is just sparking up controversy. And for a guy that, you know, is really, you know, like the voice of NXT to take shots at that guy, I just thought it was wrong. I didn't think that was necessary by Corey Graves. I know he likes to be very, you know, like controversial and stuff like that. Sometimes you come off as just being a dick.
Well, I think he might have been, but do you think he might have been saying something that maybe Beth and Nigel might have said to him on the side, like, well, we don't get a lot of talk time, we're all kind of monopolizes.
Well, then they, you know, let them have the balls to complain about it. Make Corey Graves take a public shot at a guy that is – I mean, Marl Ronaldo's commentary yesterday was awesome. You know, and there's a reason why even tonight when you have the Chicago crowd – you know, chanting what they chant, and last night chanting "Mamma Mia." You know, they're not saying it because they're all Italians in the crowd. They're all saying it because Marl Ronaldo's, you know, is what he's known for. Yeah. It's a shtick. So I just thought, even if Corey Graves felt that Marl Ronaldo was, you know, dominating the commentary, oh fucking well. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, just shut up. That's just my. And again, I've defended Corey Graves a boatload of times. This time around, I just thought that was absolutely unnecessary. War Games was so fucking good yesterday. And, you know, the throw shade because someone, you know, was commentating a little bit too much in favor of the other two, I just thought that was petty. You know, if fans want to do it, fine. But for Corey Graves to do it, I just thought, not good. Not good.
Yeah, it's weird because, look, he's part of a two-man group, you know, and he was part of a three-man group. So he should kind of know that there's a pacing and sometimes some people talk more than others. And we all know about this stuff, even in podcasting. But I maybe, again, there's some little underlying thing or he was saying something that Beth or his buddy McGinnis are not able to say. Maybe he has more power and there was some subliminal thing that we don't really know. I guess we'll, you know, as things leak out in the next couple of days, we'll decipher what's true and what's not true.
Adam Cole retains the NXT championship, defeating Pete Dunne. The Panama Sunrise on the ring apron.
Yeah, it was something.
That I mean, again, Adam Cole has worked an insane schedule the last 10 days, especially the last 24 hours.
Ridiculous. Like you said, he's an all-star.
Yeah, but, you know, right towards that end with Pete Dunne and Adam Cole in the ring, and they're basically, you know, just like frustrated that neither one could get the win. I enjoyed this match tremendously. I mean, Pete Dunne, you know, is obviously more – better suited for NXT right now than the main roster. But for an NXT-only match to be on you know, Survivor Series. I don't think you could have done better with this. This was a great fucking match. And Adam Cole retains the title.
Yeah, it was the only way to go. I mean, even last night with, you know, not doing a takeover review, but in a match that I enjoyed with him and Damian Priest and with, what's his name, Killian Dane, it was really, Pete Dunne was the obvious guy to get the victory. The other two are a little too greenish. Not Killian Dane's been around a while, but he's a new type of Killian Dane. Damian Priest still has a long way to go. So that was the way to go for tonight. I thought it was unnecessary after last night to put Adam Cole through a match tonight in Survivor Series, but he showed up, taped up, and he must have been legit hurting and sore, but put on a great match, and Pete Dunne is okay, but I think he's a good utility player. I don't think he could be the face of the franchise. UK, yes, where he's from. But over here, though the fans like him, I don't see him being the top
he's
guy.
He's got to develop more. There's no rush to develop.
Yes, he's got to develop more. Yeah, but Cole gets the victory. And again, you just can't say enough good things about Adam Cole.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, a lot of fans, they just want to be entertained. But yeah, there's enough fans out there that are taking notice on how hard Adam Cole is working. And others as well. But Adam Cole, how hard he's working to represent NXT as their champion. And that's why there were some people that thought Pete Dunne could possibly beat him tonight because he's so beat up. And the thing is that you don't reward someone who is just totally taking NXT and put him on his back and then make him lose the title.
Drop the belt. Yeah,
yeah, that's not how you reward. So not in WWE. You don't.
Unless they were giving him time off, DTD.
Or if they promote him to the main roster.
Right, correct. Right.
So, but, you know, Adam Cole retains, excellent match. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Bray Wyatt retaining the Universal title, defeating Daniel Bryan. Competitive match. Yeah. I don't think there was any doubt as far as Bray Wyatt retaining. Two things that came from this match. Number one, I'm starting to really, really, really dislike the idea of having this red, you know, lighting.
Horrible.
I know they want to make it eerie like a horror film, but it's getting a little bit too much, in my honest opinion. And the second thing is, this match tonight reminded me of Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. Daniel Bryan had, you know, some great moments, and, you know, to get the fans to think that Bryan may have had a shot is excellent, because he had no shot of winning the title tonight. But in the end, Bray Wyatt gets the win. It reminded me of the Daniel Bryan Brock Lesnar match.
Yeah, it was like, you know, competitive. There were moments where you thought he could win. I like the the flux of kicks and stuff where Bray kept getting up, and then he went down,
almost laughing
again.
At it. Yeah,
yeah, almost laughing at it. I liked it, but the red light is killing me. It's killing vision. What, you know, it's almost like, detail, I don't know if you do the same thing. It's almost like you look at whether you watch it on your phone or your laptop, whatever, like you're looking for an adjustment to turn the red light off. Yeah. Like I almost feel like I'm looking, how do I turn this off? It's really, I wonder how it is for the fans who are there live, how annoying that is.
Maybe if you just take your screen and just turn it black and white.
That's true. You could do that too.
You know what I mean? Turn it black and white. Maybe you increase a little bit of the contrast or the brightness, and you may just have like, you're watching like a 70s match, a 1970s match.
Now, DT, I remember they did it so briefly, but I couldn't even tell you how many times they did it with Kane initially. Kane was in the red when they had the original Kane come out after he debuted in 97. Kane had matches that were...
No, I think the like only... was the Inferno match a different color? I don't remember if the Inferno match was a different color.
I think it was, right.
There may have been a match, but he wasn't doing it on a regular basis.
Right.
I think the Inferno match was where the lighting was different, but I don't know. I'm just starting to really dislike this all red color. I mean,
I feel like I'm in a tanning bed. I can't. It's very hard to watch, and it must be annoying live to watch it in the arena.
Yeah, it's not a make or break for me, but, you know, look, it's supposed to make it a little more eerie, that, you know, because he's a monster and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much longer that'll be.
I like what Michael Cole said. And you really have to see this man, well, creature, live. Sometimes he goes, yeah, what is Bray Wyatt? Is he a man or a creature? Yeah. But it was just so funny when it's like, you have to experience seeing him, well, this creature, live. He's a creature. He's not even a man. It's funny creature. Yeah.
Next, we had the men's 5-on-5-on-5. Seth Rollins, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, Ricochet, and Kevin Owens representing Raw. Representing SmackDown is Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, King Corbin, Shorty G, and Mustafa Ali. Representing NXT is Keith Lee, Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Riddle, Walter, and Damian Priest. And, you know, look, we opened up this recap talking about this match. Walter eliminated almost immediately. You know, you had Kevin Owens eliminated, like, just almost immediately when he was in the ring. It was, you know, an RKO, and this is over, and then Orton's eliminated, and this person eliminated. I mean, I didn't like the pace of the match because you kind of felt like Rollins and Roman and maybe even Strowman possibly towards the end, and an NXT guy, obviously. I wanted to see Keith Lee and Braun Strowman go at it a little bit more. We really didn't get that. That's why I think Royal Rumble, it has to happen there. Maybe we get Keith Lee versus Braun Strowman at WrestleMania, which I would not have a problem with. But I don't know. I didn't like a lot of this match. I mean, towards the end, there was a point where Seth Rollins was going to get pinned and Roman Reigns, like, breaks up the pin. I know that they're friends, but they were also beating on each other the other day. They were beating on each other tonight a little bit. And I know they tease, you know, putting Keith, who were they going to put through the table? What, I think it was Ciampa. They were going to put Ciampa through the announcer's table. And then I thought maybe they're going to put Lee through the table. But I wasn't feeling, the Chicago crowd was not feeling it. You know, I guess they're fickle because they were booing Rollins out of the building also. You know, in the end, Roman Reigns, the sole survivor, a sign of respect between Reigns and Keith Lee after the match is over.
I like that a lot.
Nice fist pump. And Keith Lee, again, you know, I've said it before, and White Sox, thank you. You reminded me, you're the one that asked me about 6 weeks ago. Keith Lee is my favorite guy in NXT. Holy shit, everybody, a black man. Don Tony is black man. A black man is my favorite baseball player of all time. I don't look at it as black and white. Yeah, I don't look at it as black and white. Keith Lee is fucking great. And I agree with you. He doesn't look like Lou Ferrigno Hulk. He looks like the comic book.
Yeah, he looks like the Hulk.
Incredible Hulk. He's got that same, like, face.
Growl, yeah.
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked the ending. I liked the Roman spear and the way Keith sold it for a 340-pound guy. Mm-hmm. Roman nailed him with it, and Keith flipped over. It was a great finish. I liked the sign of respect with the fist bump, the shield thing with him and Keith Lee. I think he helped make Keith. That's what Roman is good at that. You know, he does it for a lot of people. You can't sleep on the fact that Reigns is always willing to do that, let someone beat the piss out of him to help get him over. He's not a prima donna at all. I'm glad Seth got the pin. I know a lot of people Reigns feel this way. You had to choose between the two, Reigns and Rollins. Reigns is the cooler guy, and Rollins, that's why it's a Seth's not cool chant, not a Roman isn't cool chant.
Well, you know, there's rumors that Roman now is going to be put right back in the main event of WrestleMania. I've been saying that since
April. I got no problem with that because they don't have anybody else in that fucking division. Braun Strowman can't even fight. Braun Strowman to me is turning into Hillbilly Jim. Mm. Seriously, I look at him like Hillbilly Jim. I don't find him scary anymore at all. I won't see him doing Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy at this point. I mean, seriously, he is a big goof, Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman is nowhere as near as cool as Roman Reigns, in my opinion.
I think
Braun Strowman's a big goof.
He reminds me of 5 years ago, Big Show. Where Big Show would, you know, get these matches and, like, they would emphasize on his size and then, you know, he would have, like, a little bit of personality. This is like a little bit after when he was crying, when he was, you know, and Stephanie was slapping him in the face. That kind of reminds me of Strowman right now. Like the giant, the monster, you know, the Billy Gunn of SmackDown. AEW fans will get that. because Billy Gunn just just towered over too many people on Wednesday, even though I loved it.
Yeah, he was like Sid Vicious came in the ring. He was so much. Billy Gunn is what, 6'3", and he towered over.
No, I think Billy Gunn is like 6'5". Billy Gunn is taller than me. I've met Billy Gunn, and he's taller than me, and I'm 6'3½".
He's also 56 years old.
Yeah,
but
then again, people do get shorter as they get older.
I know that is my father. My father was always taller than me. Then towards the later years, he was 2 inches smaller than me. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
But no, it is true. You do shrink. But I like the match. I like the finish, and I like the way it ended. I liked, like I said, Keith Lee. I like him too. I'm more bigger on Damian Priest, just more my style. But I like Keith Lee, both of them, Keith Lee and Damian Priest, because everyone's talking about Riddle and Roderick Strong and the future. And then you got these two big guys. So, yeah, you got the two smaller guys who could really work. And then you got the two powerhouses with impressive moveset like Keith Lee and Damian Priest. NXT is set. They are set over there. They really are.
Mm-hmm. I think just the fans didn't like how some people, the way they were eliminated. I mean, Walter almost immediately. Kevin Owens, that was a storyline, you know, handed
weird
to you. And then even when Riddle pinned Orton. You know, like Riddle was trying so hard to get that crowd to not even give them the chance to shit on it. He started going, bro, bro, bro. And the fans were like, what the fuck? You pinned Randy Orton out of nowhere? It's just there was some pins that people did not like today. Seth Rollins, they got a problem with him. I mean, they didn't even tease him possibly joining up with NXT because WWE is very stubborn. You know, they are convinced that this will pass with Seth Rollins. And believe it or not, I agree. I think this bump in the road for Seth Rollins can be fixed. But by
a heel turn, in my opinion.
Not necessarily. Look, I don't have the perfect solution. Otherwise, it'd be working for them. But I will say, unless him versus CM Punk is going to happen at Mania. You know, this idea of just throwing these challenges and Coward and stuff like that and doing the things he's saying is not helping his cause at all. And the fans, if people were fed up with fans chanting CM Punk for the last 5 years, they're in for a surprise because now, since he's doing a WWE, I don't give a shit how many times Triple H or anybody else says that CM Punk is an employee of Fox and not WWE.
Yeah, I know. You know, I agree with you.
Let me say this in one sentence. All right. Let me say this in one sentence, everyone. And anybody that ever wants to throw in your face, he's paid by Fox and not WWE. You throw this one sentence back at them. But he is on a WWE show. If he's on Fox Sports to plug hockey, basketball, football, fucking dancing with the sports stars, that's different. You put him on a WWE themed show, fans are going to think, oh, it's only a matter of time. We keep chanting. He's going to come out, cut the promo, do a match, blah, 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 blah. It's only a matter of time. And it could be only a matter of time. But if you don't want those fucking chants to continue, you do not put them on a WWE-themed show. So the idea that, you know, this is almost like Dave Lagana towards, what's his face? Jim Cornette. You know, and Dave Lagana put that original tweet out there. You know, I think I was the only podcaster last week that said to everybody, this motherfucker, when he said one of our talents, he tried to play it off like, you know, he knew nothing about it. And one of the talents and just distanced himself. Meanwhile, that motherfucker edited the show, heard the remark, didn't even think anything of it, never took responsibility for himself for not thinking that the comment was offensive enough to remove it, not apologizing to the fans. So Dave Lagana trying to play like he's outside of the thing, can't have Triple H saying, well, CM Punk is a paid Fox employee. He's not a paid WWE. He's on a fucking show talking about your goddamn product. I could see if this show was Colin Cowherd and he doesn't work for Fox Sports. He works for ESPN. And CM Punk went on an ESPN show and started talking about WWE. Okay, you know, he's talking about WWE because he's on ESPN. It's not affiliated with WWE. He's on a show that's affiliated with WWE. So whether he's paid by WWE or not, he's on a fucking WWE licensed show. So fans are going to keep doing that. And if Seth Rollins is barking up this tree and they honestly don't have any possibility of CM Punk returning, somebody's got to tell Seth Rollins, shut the fuck up.
Exactly. And I laugh at podcasters who get, and I'm glad you're saying this, DT, because I agree with you. And I was saying this in tweets the other day, that with chastising their audience, saying, stop thinking there's any possibility that CM Punk gives an F about the WWF, or that he has any talks with them. He is a Fox guy. He doesn't even talk to Triple H. Like people work, like you said, they work there. That there's no chance, that don't even let your imaginations run wild. He's a Fox guy. It's like, they have to stop that. Because if you don't think there's a possibility of someone who's got one foot in the door already to put the other foot in the door and close the door behind them to make a return to the ring, you are a fucking moron. Mm-hmm. Because this has happened before. And again, Triple H has made amends with Ultimate Warrior, Bruno Sammartino, Macho Man Randy Savage. He got Sting to come here. He can make things happen, not just money talks, apologies, and getting together and having a nice conversation, airing your grievances.
Let me ask you this. Things get resolved.
It's not impossible. I hate that podcasters are yelling at their fans about wishing CM Punk will come back like you're an asshole.
Let me ask you this. I know this has never happened, but I'm going to throw something wild out there. I want to see what people have to say with this. If Fox went to WWE right now and said, look, we got this other guy who's a wrestler, and we hired him. He's a Fox employee. We want him on WWE backstage. He wrestles under the name ACH.
Yep.
You mean to tell me that WWE is going to say, well, since he's paid by Fox, I guess we have no choice then?
Oh, stupid.
Seriously, if Fox right now hired ACH as a consultant, and Fox went, just think of, I know some people can be like, that'll never happen. The point is, even though he's paid by Fox, this is a WWE show. WWE's not going, look, you mean to tell me that Fox is going to pay someone and have that person come on and rip apart WWE? How come CM Punk is not praising AEW? If he can say whatever he wants, why is he not praising anything with AEW on WWE backstage? There's a lot of things that CM Punk is not saying on WWE backstage, because at the end of the day, this is a WWE show. And that's why this idea that, oh, well, he's not really paid from WWE, so you can't look at it like that. Idiots.
Exactly. And it's funny. Like I said, I've listened to other podcasts and even watch people write these blogs on it, and it's like, people, stop with this fantasy booking that CM Punk has ever come back. No, you stop with telling us something that you are a guesstimation that you're making. We're as right as you are for thinking that he's got one foot in the door, because he does got one foot in the door, because he's on a WWE fucking program.
Idiots.
That's how it starts, right, DT?
Fools.
That's how it starts.
Dumb morons.
I know. I'm not listening to any other shows.
Dingbats. I haven't said that in about 30 years. Dingbat.
That's Archie Parker.
Dingbat. So anyway, Brock Lesnar retains the title WWE Championship, defeating Rey Mysterio. We had an appearance by Dominic, who did the Eddie Frog Splash and actually did the 619 with Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio with the toilet paper holder, you know, hitting. I mean, you know what? At least it was hollow, and you saw it was hollow.
There you go. Exactly.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, if I'm gonna beat the fuck out of someone, someone's cheating on you know, my wife with me. See how me and my friends would handle it differently. You know, we would take our significant other, tie her to a chair, and let her watch as we cut that man's penises off, and then shove it in his mouth. Rey Mysterio all of a sudden had this infatuation about picking up this hollow white piece of tube And then he's walking around with it for weeks. You mean to tell me in the back you couldn't find a better weapon in the last 2-3 weeks? That, hey, you know, you're going to see a Rey Mysterio you've never seen before. I'm going to be so violent that I'm going to stick with this hollow plastic tube that I found 3 weeks ago because I couldn't go on Amazon and find a fucking more intimidating weapon to use to beat down the fucking Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, the Joker... You know, again, I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to, you know, bite off of the Joker. And Ray's had some awesome outfits in the past. The Spider-Man one, he had some awesome ones at WCW. To me, this one didn't hit the mark because to me, you know, the nose just ruined it for me. I agree with you. He looked like a clown. He looked like a clown. Give him a fucking towel and let's just hear Brock Lesnar like run through it. Somebody going, ole, ole. He was not intimidating. He looked like a fucking Mexican clown.
Yeah, it wasn't outfit appropriate for tonight.
You know, and yes, he was the Joker when he beat JBL at WrestleMania. I think he was the Joker. But tonight, he just looked like a Mexican clown. And you know, the violence part, Dominic, I thought was great. And it did what it needed to do. You know, in the end, you know, obviously, Rey gets pinned. I don't think there was any doubt of Rey Mysterio winning. In fact, I love all these people online saying that they're going to give things away as prizes if Rey wins. If you really give a shit about your followers, you give away a prize, period. You know, that's like me saying... you know what? If the Yankees win the first 30 games of the season, I'll give away a T-shirt.
Oh, jeez.
You know, come on. If AEW hits 2 million viewers this week, I'll give away a video. I saw these people. There was numerous people doing it. Let me make this clear before there's any controversy. Lee and a few others were poking fun at other websites. I want to make that clear. They weren't like, oh, we'll give away a shirt if Rey wins the belt. They were poking fun of other people because other people were like, we'll give away a video. And they were serious. We'll give away a video if Rey Mysterio wins the title tonight.
Right.
I mean, come on. We give people a video just because we want to. You know,
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I would have gave one to Mambo Mike right now, but you were talking about me on Dark Chronicles last week, motherfucker. I saw it.
Mambo Mike.
Yeah, Mambo Mike is cool. I sent him my jacket, the new jacket. He's like fucking around with him. Yeah, no, Mambo Mike is awesome.
He's 18 years old.
Yeah, we're just playing with each other. He's a good guy. But he would have got a shirt today. But I'm saying like to make that big of a deal for a fucking video. That's like my girlfriend. I swear on my mother. Yesterday, she went and got her hair cut. And, you know, when I went to pick her up, she wanted to buy some Pepsi. So she's like, I got no money on me. So I gave her $20. She goes to the store. So she comes out and I said, where's my change? And she's like, you seriously want your change? I said, yeah, I want my change. So she gave me $6. So later on, we were talking about something and, you know, she's like, oh, do you want the change here? Like make it like I made such a big deal for $6. You know, it's like, why am I making such a big deal because of $6? And like these websites, why are you making such a big deal? If Rey Mysterio wins, you're going to give away a video. You know, he ain't fucking winning. So I just thought it was pussy by people online.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
Yeah, yes, Mike. The WrestleMania 25 Joker outfit was a hell of a lot better. Hell of a lot better. Hey, look, he tried. He failed in more ways than one tonight. But it was an entertaining match. I don't think this match could have been booked any better tonight.
Yeah, I think it was booked fine.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best match of the night. But, you know, with Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio, I mean, is there any way that would have overtook any other match for the most part? I think it did what it needed to do. It told the right story.
It did. I think it told the right story. I mean, Dominic making an appearance was good. And finally, Dominic got a little bit of comeuppance, got a move on Brock. So that was pretty cool.
Ben, Pepsi does cost $14 in my neck of the woods. Trust me. It's like 11, 12 bucks plus tax. You'd be surprised. So anyway, the main event tonight. I don't understand WWE Chicago. You think you'd know your crowd. They think, oh, let's have Becky versus Shayna Baszler versus Bayley. go off the air. And, you know, hey, you know, look, it's going to make Shayna Baszler's stock even more powerful. And again, I will say it. If AEW was not on Wednesdays against NXT and NXT was still on the WWE Network, I personally think this match would not have closed out the pay-per-view tonight. And I even think that some people tonight may have not even won their matches. But the design is to show that NXT can hang with the big boys. And let's also be honest, WWE also hit a home run tonight with the Chicago crowd, because the Chicago crowd was heavily invested in the NXT guys. They were chanting Undisputed. They were chanting for a lot of NXT stars tonight. So they made the NXT stars feel at home.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the match? I mean, I know we already talked about some of the women's match, but to me, it fell flat. It fell flat.
Yeah, the match did fall flat. I didn't think the crowd was that into it. It was a bad way to close the show. Like I said, Shayna Baszler, as I'm, like I said, waiting minutes to go to air with you on the show, I'm like, something's got to happen. This can't be. This is uneventful going out. And yeah, Becky got up and attacked her and stuff, but that wasn't good enough to close out this pay-per-view. Bad way to close. Bad placement of matches tonight. I agree with you. It's what you said from the get-go.
You know, I thought it was a bad match to close it out. None against the women, but Becky versus Bayley. They have had some decent matches over the years, but I don't know if they would consistently have a match that would go off the air, close out one of the big four. You want to have it for No Way Out? You know what I mean? One of those pay-per-views, fine. But to have it Survivor Series, you know, and then Shayna Baszler, who is extremely talented, extremely intimidating. She's had that belt for a while. She's a tough motherfucker. Scares the shit out of a lot of people. If I saw her in an alleyway, I would fucking look the other way. If she fucking told me, give me your fucking clothes, I probably would strip naked and say, yes, sir. And I would fucking just walk away and let her have whatever she wants. But Shayna Baszler, I don't think she's ever had matches that would really close out a Survivor Series type pay-per-view. She's not that type of talent. She's a brawler, you know, and I just, to me, it was a mixture that wasn't guaranteed to tear it through the roof. And I think it showed tonight. I don't know why they thought closing this out, other than because of Shayna Baszler winning and going into Wednesday, I can't think of any other reason. If Ray versus Lesnar could have closed out, I think everybody would have been fine with it. Fiend versus Bryan could have closed it out, I think everybody would have been fine with it. Hell, the 5-on-5 men's could have closed it out, I think everybody would have been fine with it. But I think the only reason why the 5-on-5 men didn't close it out is because the scale of the women and the men would have been too lopsided. You would have too many SJWs and snowflakes online saying, why did the women have to open it, but the men get to close it? Why did the women only get, why are they the curtain jerker, but the men get the main time? You would have saw that over and over. So WWE wouldn't even dare have the 5-on-5-on-5 men close it out. I was just very, I don't know.
Yeah, just bad placement. That's what it was. I think Brock should have closed out the show. Even the Fiend, Daniel Bryan, just not that match. Just the Shayna Baszler thing should have been in the middle of the card, if not open the show.
Yeah, it could have opened the show. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think anybody would have had a problem with it. I mean, hell, we've had main event matches open pay-per-views in the past. Brock Lesnar fucking opened Saudi Arabia. You know, that's your Survivor Series recap. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it? Favorite match, worst favorite match, least favorite match?
My favorite match was actually a match that I know you didn't, it's not your favorite match, but mine was still the men's with Keith Lee and Roman Reigns closing it out. That was my favorite match. I just liked it the most. Least favorite match was, least favorite match. I'm going to go with the women's match. I thought it was my least favorite match. The closing of the show was my least favorite thing. I'll give it overall a 7.
Okay. This might surprise people. The least favorite match for me tonight was the women closing it out. That was my least favorite. My favorite match of the night, believe it or not, and I'm going to say it, and it's going to surprise a lot of people, Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne.
That was good. But I was joking that it was a bathroom break match, but I think a lot of people probably were.
It's not for everybody. It's not a match. You know, this is something that I talked about with Mish on Breakfast Soup. And you know, we were doing the ratings predictions, and I'm just preparing everybody for, you know, getting annoyed Monday night. But when we were giving our ratings predictions for AEW and NXT last week, you know, we were trying to dissect it as to, you know, and this was, you know, after we had, you know, all the invading at NXT leading into Survivor Series. So when I was dissecting and I was explaining to Mish that even though the Revival versus the Undisputed Era was an awesome match, unfortunately, though, when it comes to pure wrestling, you know, the WWE universe that likes the entertainment aspect of wrestling, I don't think could get into a 20-minute Revival versus Undisputed Era match. You appreciate tag team wrestling and you get to an extent where you enjoy it. But for the masses, it is not a WWE entertainment type of match. And I felt that, unfortunately, they have too many of those matches on NXT, even on AEW to an extent, when you're having names on there that aren't household names, that is just very one-dimensional wrestling, people can't get into it as much. And then my prediction was that NXT was going to beat AEW by 20,000 viewers. That was my prediction. They actually beat them by 23,000. And I predicted NXT, I think, to get 905,000. I think I said 905, and I think they were like 920. I just like couldn't have gotten any better. But the one thing that I will say is, going back to my ratings comments, Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne is a match that the WWE universe that are into the characters, the entertainment aspect, you know, they may not have gotten into this match as much as other people because Pete Dunne is missing a little bit of that character development. He comes off as a tough son of a bitch and a brawler and a fucking, you know, he's tough as nails. But, you know, so was Steve Blackman. And they had to do head cheese and goofy things and restaurant scenes and, you know, in order to give that personality to Steve Blackman. And I'm just using him as an example because somebody mentioned him earlier. And it helped. Look at the Revival. I mean, as bad as the skits were, you know, they needed to put those skits with the Usos to give them a little bit of expansion of their character. You can't be as bland as water, not in 2019. So Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne isn't a match. And I wouldn't be surprised when you see like a WWE website asking fans their favorite match. And I wouldn't doubt that Adam Cole and Pete Dunne might be the top two or three of the night. For me, it was my favorite match.
Okay.
That's fair. You know, it started slow, but, I give Adam Cole a little bit of a pass after his work schedule recently, but that guy deserves a nice hot bath tonight, maybe a blowjob, you know, and maybe he gets like a teeth cleaning and a free x-ray from, you know, his wife or his girlfriend, girlfriend. Yeah. And, you know, he gets to relax for a couple of days, so... Hopefully he doesn't wrestle on Wednesday. I think he deserves a week off.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Any final comments before we get off the air?
No. Other than that, I will see what happens. I guess what unravels tomorrow night out of it. I, for some reason, I have this feeling something's going to go down with Seth because the way he got pinned and lost and the way he probably feels about himself right now. I'm expecting a kind of a real dickish promo tomorrow night towards the crowd.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But so,
catch tomorrow night.
Yeah, everyone, the schedule reminder for this week: Monday's DTKC show. Tuesday is Castle Chronicles on Patreon. Wednesday will be Wednesday Night Dynamite. I will be on location, and then we will be off for Thanksgiving weekend. Right. And, you know, that's pretty much it. So definitely let us know, you know, your thoughts on the pay-per-view. And we'll catch everybody again Monday night after Raw. All right.
Yep. See everybody Monday.
All right. Talk to you later.
Peace.
Okay. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And make sure you tune in Monday night. You know, we'll see what the fallout is from Survivor Series. And we'll get into whatever else is going on. We'll get into some news. And I recommend, look, I know we plug, you know, our Patreon stuff. But if you're not a member, you should really consider signing up just for last week's Breakfast Soup and Wildcard Friday. I mean, if you can't get enough of what we do, those two episodes, there was so much just gems coming out of it. And the commentary, the discussion we had about Jim Cornette and his statement and everything in itself is worth the download. So if you want to check it out, patreon.com/DonTony. And look, if you sign up and you don't like it, send me a PM. I'll be more than happy to refund your money. And, you know, I do that. And I want to give a special shout out to Shaheen over at Nuclear Heat Graphics. He made me some custom artwork tonight for Survivor Series. And, you know, it's just, if you look at the characters on the Survivor Series poster, he had said to me a couple of weeks ago, he says, give me a couple of names that you enjoyed the most over the years for Survivor Series. And I gave him Bam Bam, Undertaker, Hogan, Bret, Shawn. I gave him a couple others too. But he made some beautiful custom artwork for me. And we're going to take these original 11 by 17 prints and we're actually going to offer them to everybody, signed or unsigned. Be more than happy to sign them. And then what we're going to do is we're going to sell them for $10. And all of the money that is made, all of it will be donated to a Christmas charity. So I'm going to check out this week the options we have as far as charities go. And the cool thing about it is anybody that does buy any of these Survivor Series prints, you will get a receipt from the charity that donation was made in your name and ours. So that's something that Shaheen and I decided to do for the holidays. And yeah, some people already commented on how cool the artwork is. So we definitely going to do more things like that in the future. But I wanted to give him a special shout out and a thank you for doing that. So, and that's pretty much it. So everyone, tune in Monday night, DTKC show, and I will see you then. Take care. Be well. Ciao.